So we open the show on a bit of a sad note.
Too many of these this year.
Yeah. We recently found out that Tracy Smothers has passed away at the age of 58 due to health complications. Yeah, we've done way too many of these this year, that's for sure. And Tracy Smothers seemed like a guy that everybody in the business loved.
I mean, you said it best. And when the guy's gimmick, he carried around with a Confederate flag, and nobody has any word to say, bad word to say about the guy. How many first matches you just run through for me?
Yeah, he worked with Punk early on, Ricochet early on. Like, just a lot of guys that are gigantic names in the industry now. He was, like, among their early matches. And, you know, it's kind of a shame hearing how nice of a guy he is and how much he did to help everyone in the business that he never really got a major run. I mean, he had a decent ECW run. He got a cult following from it. And
I mean, who hasn't had a decent ECW run?
Well, I mean, guess that's true.
He ran through the territories. I mean, he wrestled everywhere. He's only 58 years old.
Yeah.
So he was like 18 when he started wrestling. I mean, WCW, Smoky Mountain, ECW, WWF, even Juggalo and TNA.
Yeah.
But and he worked the independent circuit for 18 years, so I'm assuming that's when he ran into most of these guys. He can be wrapped up in one single sentence. In Continental Wrestling, Tracy Smothers wrestled an unmuzzled bear that was announced at 550 pounds.
You know, I actually do remember hearing about this.
Tracy took the bear to the mat several times.
I think I heard Cornette tell that story.
And the bear thought they were playing because it was somebody's pet bear, because of course it was.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, you run into some of these guys. Some of these guys are the heroes of the business, and you don't know their names. And it's the job of people on social media and people like us to get their names out.
Yeah, Chris Hero had really nice things to say. Edge. Basically, everyone. Both WWE and AEW sent out condolence tweets. I'm sure there'll be a graphic at the beginning of NXT and AEW.
I'm sure you'll be hearing guys like from Pritchard and Cornette.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure Cornette will have a lot to say.
Because I believe he was the Smoky Mountain champion.
Cornette got him the WWF job as Freddie Joe Floyd. He always apologizes to him for making him be Freddie Joe Floyd, but yeah, man, just another tough one and a tough year all around.
He won. He was a big title holder in that. Yeah, just a tough year. I mean, God, just off this, we're coming off Animal,
yeah.
Finkel, and countless others. Vader.
That wasn't this year, but fair enough.
It wasn't. All time blends together. But yeah, I mean, thoughts are with his family, and just if you can check out some Tracy Smothers' work, do it. It's good for everybody.
Yeah, and it's always nice to see guys that are willing to give back to the business. And by all accounts, he was one of those guys.
Absolutely.
So this show is dedicated to the memory of Tracy Smothers, and keep his memory alive. Rest in peace, Tracy Smothers.
What the fuck is in this match?
If it's a war, you can say whatever you want.
I thought it was a cult. I didn't know what was going on.
The Fed did. I think New York did.
One of your executive vice presidents loves that company.
It's the first ever finishing move that's exclusive to a promotion. So welcome to a end of the week edition of Champions Advantage. When are we putting this out? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Put it out tomorrow.
That's fine.
And then we can have time for things to happen so we can talk about it for next week's episode.
Yep, that works.
We will be reviewing Havoc on next week's episode.
Yeah, Havoc is about an hour and a half away by the time we record this, so we're going to try to zip through everything. But yeah, how's your week?
Good.
Although it's weird, we usually see each other once a week, and I feel like we've seen each other like a lot.
I've seen you three times in the last 5 days.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Saturday, Sunday, yesterday.
That's over my quota, I think.
Yeah, you know what? I get it. I understand.
Yeah,
I understand completely.
I bet you hear that one a lot.
I do. That's why I'm single and upset.
Oh well, you know.
Yeah. But, yeah, the week was good. A lot happened wrestling. We watched Hell in a Cell together. We'll be getting to that later.
not just together, with a group.
With a group of non-wrestling fans.
Yes, and it was... Honestly, they were pretty. It was pretty mundane until Slapjack came out.
Who is this guy? I think it was one of them.
Well, like, I was telling them, like, you're going to see this group, and I don't know how to describe them. Just go with it. And then of all the members they pick the goofiest looking one.
Slapjack.
Slapjack.
I believe we got a who is that Ron Hextall? That's the only NHL goalie I think the person knew. But that was a fun enough show.
That was a good show. We'll talk about it later.
But we got some Marty Skrull news to talk about.
The usual. Here comes your patented try to be shady about the rundown.
Okay, we'll talk about Marty Skrull, Michael Satomura, a little bit of Thunder Rosa, and Tony wants to go off about Survivor Series. We'll get to the War Report and Hell in a Cell. So we'll see you in just a minute.
How about that? So, let's hop right into the news for the week. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with some Marty Skrull news.
Yeah, so Marty Skrull has disappeared from the Ring of Honor roster page. It was reported a few months ago that Marty had given up his position of head booker while Ring of Honor conducted an investigation into the accusations made against him in the Speaking Out movement. And it appears, I mean, there's no confirmation of this, but it appears they have quietly moved on from the villain. So what do you make of all this? Right move, only move, bad move? Don't think you're going to say that one. But
I don't think that's the answer, but I trust them figuring it out. I don't even remember the situation because he came out when the Speaking Out movement, right?
Yes.
Speaking Out movement?
Yes.
I don't even remember the situation. I believe he was one of the worst ones.
I believe his was with a 16-year-old girl, I want to say.
Oh, yes, it was. I remember now.
And he kind of did the half-assed apology to where it was wrong, but it was consensual. So that kind of
doesn't help.
Turned a whole lot of people off from Marty Skrull.
Where does he go?
Well, I mean, I don't think anyone's going to touch him. A lot of people, I saw a lot of reactions on Twitter and Instagram, very excited because now he's free to go to AEW. But I don't think they want to touch that.
They can't do that
PR. When the Joey Ryan stuff came out, they immediately deleted all of the BTE episodes that he was in. So it's clear that they don't want to touch this type of situation. And I don't blame them. I mean,
no, I don't think WWE can afford another pedophile.
Why not? They have like 8 on the payroll. It's another one.
I mean, does this end his career in Japan too? If he's not on the Ring of Honor's roster?
I don't know. I mean, I would assume no one touches him. But I don't know. I mean, I've seen less surprising things.
If you were forced to see him again, where would you want to see him?
Something I don't watch.
Impact.
Poor Impact. Impact doesn't deserve that, because from what I've heard, it's a very good product. I just...
Oh, you really want to get into this? Now there was a murder in Impact last night.
There was a murder in Impact.
Like a straight-up pop-pop. But, Marty, you're a fuck-up. I was a big fan of him.
I
thought he was the best member of the. I thought I liked him much more than I've ever liked Omega, but like that's a real low bar nowadays. And
wow,
it is.
Wow.
Did you watch that entrance last week?
I'm the one who sent it to you. You didn't even watch it.
I didn't. I didn't get around to watching it yet.
The one who fucking sent you it. You asked me if I watched it.
I was asking you in context.
I know you're asking me in context, but I'm.
I thought Marty was my favorite member of the Skrull, or favorite member of the Bullet Club, and the leader of the fuck you want to call them. And now he's just another guy. He's just a jag. So, oh, fuck yourself. Make peace with your life decisions.
I thought you were going to say make pizzas.
You can do that, too, because you're going to need money. Support that toy habit he has. But
he does, yeah, he's one of those guys.
In other destination news, Michael Satomura appears to be signing with WWE.
Yeah, there's an article that came out, first reported on Fightful Select, that Mako Satomura will be headed to NXT UK. And now we were trying to figure out why this was a thing, because, you know, obviously Mako Satomura is a very British name, but it was shocking that she'd be going to NXT UK. But I think I figured it out.
They coach Storm and they need a...
I think you can travel from Japan to the UK right now.
Yeah, that might be, you know what?
I think that might be it.
Because Storm's living in America, isn't she?
Well, she has to be if she's at NXT every week.
Yeah. But she's quite the veteran.
Yeah, she was in the first couple Mae Young Classics.
I believe she had a banger of a match with Mercedes Martinez.
She did.
In one of them.
She did. It was a 2018 Mayhem Classic.
She's just been around for a while. It's one of those.
And supposedly she's going to be a coach and an active wrestler. So that's
can't go wrong there.
And someone has to dethrone Kaylee Ray. I think that'd be a great choice. A nice veteran to put it on.
Yeah.
I love Kaylee Ray, though. I think she's doing a great job with the title, but
her whole run was awesome. Like, yeah. From the three-way with
Piper
and Niven.
Yes.
And
Tony.
And Tony. From that on, she was great. So, I mean, this is nothing
but good. She had a great I Quit match with Tony Storm, yeah. Which is the reason why Tony Storm is in NXT America now.
There's
a cool kid's called NXT Winter Park.
There is no downside to this.
No, not at all.
A veteran who can train and still be able to still fucking go in the ring.
And don't quote me on this, but I think I read she'd still be able to work in Japan, like in her own company and other companies around Japan. So, seems like a hell of a deal for her and hell of a steal for NXT UK, which needs some juice. And it seems like they could be getting Ben Carter and Mako Satomura now. So that's some pretty big scores.
Yeah, and Ben Carter. Jesus, what a huge sign that is.
Yeah, I don't know how AEW let that one happen.
I think you hit the nail on the head when Ben Carter got a call from his trainer.
Well, apparently there was also some visa issues with him. Like, he wrestled for AEW for free because legally they weren't allowed to pay him. I hope for the love of God TK at least slipped him a little something under the table, yeah. Which I'm sure he did, honestly. But he said in an interview he had to wrestle for free because he had visa issues. And, you know, I'm not discrediting Tony Khan. They run two legitimate sports franchises.
I mean, are the Jaguars a legitimate sports franchise?
By definition, yes. In execution, probably not. But WWE seems to get these visa issues solved somehow. Maybe it's connections they have with a certain man in the White House.
Yeah, I think they have a pretty connected phone line to the White House.
Yeah.
But.
Unfortunately.
But, bigger news. Another woman possibly heading to WWE.
Yeah, this one, there's...
I'll let you take it because you're the one that smartened me up to it.
Yeah, no one really knows what the situation here is. So, Tuesday night, Thunder Rosa dropped the NWA title to Serena Deeb. And will you stop it?
I'm sorry.
She dropped the title to Serena Deeb. And Dave Meltzer reported originally that she was likely WWE bound because they had shown significant interest. But he quickly deleted that and then put up a new tweet that said, Thunder Rosa has drawn interest from WWE and AEW. So I don't know what he's trying to do. I don't know what she's doing. A lot of people are convinced, like, she is WWE bound because she dropped the NWA Women's World title. But she also dropped it to someone who already works for AEW, so they could easily switch it back in a month or a couple weeks or whatever. I think maybe the situation is her contract with the NWA is about to run out, and she's considering her options. So they took the championship off of her to be safe, but they also put it on someone that works for AEW, so they could do an easy switch back if she decides to go that way.
That sounds like the most viable
option. I don't have any evidence towards that, but that's just like if I put it all together in my brain, that's just...
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, especially knowing how wrestling contracts work now.
Yeah.
I can tell you something. AEW can't fuck that up.
No, if they let her and Ben Carter slip out of their hands in the span of a month...
Especially, and they have the worst women's division in all of wrestling, and here's a legitimate one fixer. You could bring this in and she could fix the whole fucking division.
That's a bold statement right there.
I mean, but it's not...
I mean, she have good matches with Sheeta and...
Yeah.
And Statlander when she gets back.
But it's one more person. It's one more person, and one knows how to wrestle.
That's fair.
Two is a legitimate star in this business.
She will instantly become the number two woman in the division if she signs.
Yeah.
If she goes to WWE, she'll probably go to NXT. And who knows what happens from there, because NXT is a very good women's division. Although, we're going over this Raw Survivor Series team, which we'll talk about in a little bit, and... Rom, you need to call down to Winter Park and get some of these gals because holy shit.
Yeah, I agree. We'll get to that in a minute. But
so what do you see Thunder Rosa doing?
I think
she did recently talk shit on WWE, saying it looked too fake for her. But we all know the bag talks.
Yeah, and they have it.
They certainly do.
And
Tony Khan has it too. It's just, does he want to pull it out? Like, also, he was willing to pull it out for Rey Mysterio. Will he be willing to pull it out for Thunder Rosa?
Also, I would. Because they need her more.
Yeah.
But if you're her, aren't you going to go to WWE if the offers are the same? You're going to be on television.
But you'll probably work more dates. It depends what you're looking
for. Yeah, but I mean, I don't think she's all that old, is she?
No, but if you could make the same amount of money for less dates, why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah, but it's also, we don't
know. If I could work 1 day a week and get paid the same as if I was working 5 days a week, I know where I'm going.
But you're right. We also don't know what she wants.
Yeah,
it depends. Does she want the exposure and the star? If so, that's WWE.
Is it, though? Because we saw women like Deonna Purrazzo go to WWE and just...
I think there's a defiant difference between Thunder Rosa and
maybe charisma wise, yes, but it's not like she's so much of a better worker than Deonna.
Oh, I think she is.
I don't think by as much as you're making it to me.
I don't think it's like Bobby Eaton and fucking the Great Khali, but I think that I would like to see her go to AEW. That's my final thing.
I think I certainly agree that AEW needs her more.
Because they need her. They need that division is shit. It's awful.
You know what? This might be a politically correct answer, but after seeing all of the backlash towards Ben Carter for making the decision he made, I want her to do what makes her happy.
Yeah.
Fuck what the internet says.
Yeah. People are horrible to Ben Carter.
Yeah, and like the dude said before that like WWE is his lifelong dream. And
also, not to mention, his trainer is the number one guy in the company.
I know that, but...
Number two guy.
But, like, you know, like, people, like, I don't know. Like, people have so much vitriol and vinegar towards WWE that they forget that, like, when you were a kid and you said you wanted to be a wrestler, you pictured yourself main eventing WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Now, do I think Ben Carter will main event WrestleMania? Who knows? I mean... People probably said Tyler Black would never main event WrestleMania when he signed, and look at him. So
people said that Bryan Danielson wouldn't main event WrestleMania while he was main eventing WrestleMania.
Fair enough, but just I think like you got to remember at the end of the day, this is their job. Like, how would you like if you left Hershey's and you signed with Breyers and everyone that was fans of Hershey's ice cream was giving you shit, like, you wouldn't appreciate that.
No, I'd give him my finisher.
I need to know what your finisher is.
The slop drop.
Of course it is.
Why wouldn't it be?
I respect that you call it the slop drop and not the scorpion death drop.
It's not the scorpion death. It's absolutely the slop drop.
That's why Nigel McGuinness is the GOAT.
He is.
No matter who hits that movie, scream slop drop.
But Thunder Rosa, AEW, don't fuck it up. And now I will hand over the floor to you. About Survivor Series.
I feel like you're going to be disappointed, but Survivor Series just pisses me off.
It is real stale, and I would add...
No, I don't... It's not even that it's stale. It's just there's no fucking stakes. Like, give the winning... Like, how hard is this? Raw versus SmackDown, you have, whatever, 7 matches. Whoever wins the most matches, that brand gets number 30 in the Royal Rumble.
Easy.
Is that
easy
hard?
It's easy.
It gives every single person motivation... Because, you know, if you're...
They could be that person.
If you're number 30 in the Royal Rumble, you statistically, you have the best chance to win.
And you know what? Give the other brand number one.
That's even better. I like that. See? How easy was that? That took no seconds.
Yeah.
That took 0 seconds. I wouldn't even if there was a fucking trophy, at least it's something. Like, this... They say brand supremacy, but, like, people hop fucking... There's a draft every year! How could you have pride in your brand when you're flopping brands every year?
Yeah, it's just... Do you think we see the end of Survivor Series eventually?
No. Do you mean, like, the Raw versus SmackDown concept? Or the pay-per-view? Because it's a Big Four pay-per-view. It's never going anywhere.
Well, don't you think they would move it off the Big Four kind of schedule and put something else that weekend, like Money in the Bank?
No, because Vince loves tradition.
You're right. And he loves Survivor Series.
And he loves... But he hates tag team.
He loves the Teamsters.
He does. He loves...
Who was the Teamsters? It was... Michaels and Diesel. The Road Warriors?
No. That would have been like 95. The Road Warriors wouldn't have been there. Maybe Razor?
But would you give them the 2-week trophy?
I'd give them something. Like, just give them something. Like, we're expected to believe these guys are fighting for brand pride. Remember 2 years ago, it was 2018, SmackDown got swept 7-0 and nobody cared?
Yep.
Like, they came out on SmackDown and New Day made jokes about getting swept.
Yep.
It's like, but I don't blame them because it's not, like, what does getting swept mean? There's nothing on the line. Like, do something. Like, maybe.
Oh, an even funnier team that is, by the way.
Whoa.
They faced the bad guys.
That was Razor Ramon.
1-2-3 Kid, the British Bulldog, fucking Fatu, Rikishi, and who the hell is Sion? Oh, it's a Barbarian. Who was managed by Alpha and Lou Albano. And they defeated the Teamsters, Diesel, Jeff Jarrett, Neidhart, Owen Hart, and Michaels.
Jesus.
That's funny.
That is pretty funny. Where was I? I was in the middle of making a point. Or say the winning brand can take any superstar they want from the losing brand, like fucking something.
Yeah. And it appears NXT will not be involved this year.
Because of course not, because they lost the war.
Yeah.
That's why they're involved last year. Like, everyone saw through it.
Yeah. And I don't think they were trying to hide.
No, I don't think they were either. I'm just saying, it's like, everyone's like, why is NXT involved? Because Vince gave up on it.
Yeah. But I agree. Do something with it.
Like, just...
Fucking make it spin the wheel, make a deal.
No, don't do that. For the love of God. Although I'd love to see Sami Zayn versus Bobby Lashley in a casket match. Do you realize we're getting Bobby Lashley and Sami Zayn, the worst feud of 2018, we're getting it again? If Sami doesn't bring Lashley's sisters back, I don't know what I'm going to do.
If Sami does bring Lashley's sisters back, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Heel Sami could make it work somehow. Although he was a heel then and he did not make it work. So...
What a thing.
That was a thing.
That was a thing. Remember when Bobby ripped through that?
That was awesome. Sami was like struggling to do it, and Lashley just fucking owned it. It was awesome. Lashley's a freak. Yeah. And like I mean that in the nicest way.
Oh, yeah, he's insane. He's not human. He looks exactly like he does 15 years ago.
Yeah, I think someone brought that up when we were watching. He's like, dude, he looks the same.
Yeah, and he's just a freak of an athlete.
Good old Franklin.
Yep. What's his last name?
Lashley.
Is it Franklin Lashley?
His name is Franklin Bobby Lashley.
That's hysterical. That's just so funny. He looks like a Franklin.
He does look like
a Franklin. He looks like a Franklin. If anybody I knew was going to be named Franklin, it was going to be him.
Yeah. I don't know. Does it not piss you off?
It does. It's just... No, it doesn't, because I don't care anymore.
That's a bad thing.
I know. In the worst way,
A lot of people don't care anymore. That's why Raw's getting 1.5 million viewers a week.
Yep. But I would definitely do something with Survivor Series.
Like, it's just...
When was the last good one? 2018?
They've all been good. Like, the matches at last year's were good. They're just meaningless.
True.
Like, Keith Lee had his fucking major moment at Survivor Series. It would have been better if something was on the line.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. They made him look like a star that night, and now look where he is now. I haven't seen him.
And now he looks like... He doesn't look like Keith Lee anymore.
No, he doesn't. He looks like some dude named Franklin.
Keith Lee looks like what Lashley's going to look like in another 20 years.
No, Lashley's going to look like Lashley does now in another 20 years.
You're probably right.
Based on history.
You're probably right. I love Keith Lee, though.
Oh. Yeah, so I'm not giving up on him.
So,
if anybody in that company is going to make it, it's going to be him. So
speaking of that, we have the first three members of the Team Raw men's team announced. We have AJ Styles with his bodyguard, the Big Ninja, the Raw Underground bouncer.
This guy's done a lot.
They obviously like him because this is his third role now in like 3 months. We have Keith Lee, the Limitless One, who supposedly recorded vocals for his new entrance music. So thank God. And we have Sheamus.
Fella!
Did you see Sheamus, what he said the other day?
No.
He said, I want people to remember Sheamus the way they remember John Cena and Randy Orton.
I'm going to remember Sheamus that way.
Well, you're a fucking hardcore Sheamus, Mark.
I am a hardcore Sheamus. How are you not a hardcore Sheamus, Mark? Fella, he's the biggest man I've ever seen.
He is a gigantic individual.
You don't know.
I do know.
I stood... He hustled across New York Times Square. But I sat ringside at a live event, and he walked by me, and he was the biggest person I've ever seen.
He's a gigantic individual.
There was bigger people in the match he was wrestling, and he took up more space than them.
I believe it. He's a big white bastard.
He is. He is a bastard.
So, Bobby Lashley once called Finley a bath turd. You say your name is Finley and you love to fight. I say your name is Finley and you're a bath turd.
You know what? You know why Bobby Lashley? What will happen when he looks like Keith Lee?
What?
He'll get thick and tired of it.
That's mean. That's mean.
Oh, okay. We'll end on that horrible joke. So, hey, listen. As a fat guy with a lisp, I can say that.
You didn't even give your thoughts on the fucking team.
Oh, I didn't. Well, the team. I mean, it's a solid team.
It's a lot of beef.
It's a lot of beef. It's a big...
And AJ.
It's a lot of beef and AJ. It's a lot of beef and one southern little angry man.
Never mind.
Basically, Colonel Robert Parker.
Fucking AJ. Uncle Alan.
Him and Road Doc should go on a trip together.
I was going to make a similar comment, and I abstained. I'm glad you said it.
Well, that's funny, then. Okay, well,
I was gonna say one Southern Republican.
With the big ninja.
Which is baffling. I feel like their ideals clash. No pun intended.
I would say. But, all right, coming up next, we have the war report from last week, and I just realized what we have to talk about.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet God. All right.
Yeah, that's why I refuse to let us miss this week, because I need you to...
See you in a minute.
Need you to get angry. They won't like you when you're angry.
They won't.
The war report for the day of October 21st, 2020. By the time you're hearing this, it'll be over a week ago, but shit happens. So as always, we'll start with All Elite Wrestling Dynamite. The opener, Wardlow taking on Jungle Boy. Not the match I would have booked, but Wardlow looked fucking good.
I couldn't say that even better. I would have kept these two away from each other.
Yeah.
But I thought it was good.
Wardlow looked great. Like, he did. Wardlow could be a star.
Yeah, he absolutely could. And
we already know how both of us feel about Jungle Boy. I guess I understand why they did this, because Jungle Boy bumped around for him and made him look probably better than he even was. But, you know, they could have found someone else to do that. But whatever, you know. I think Jungle Boy he's not dead by any means.
For as much of a powerhouse that Wardlow is being billed as.
Yeah.
No, he's not dead, but nobody's dead. Nobody's dead after what happened on this show. Nobody's dead, ever.
Yeah, that's true.
Is that fair?
Except unless... The only time people are truly dead is when the lights go out and they get shot with a gun.
The murder!
Rest in peace, Johnny Bravo.
Of course Tommy Dreamer is wrapped up in that. Of course.
While dressed as Road Warrior Animal.
That's like, if you said, hey, who witnessed a murder at a wrestling wedding dressed as Road Warrior Animal, there is one person you would say.
I would have said John Heidenreich.
No, it's absolutely Tommy Dreamer. Because no one has done more stupid shit in wrestling than Tommy Dreamer. Could you name someone who has?
I was going to say Omega, but...
Okay, he's a close second.
I was joking.
Okay, we're getting there now, so...
Kenny Omega taking on Sonny Kiss. First of all, that entrance.
Oh, my God. I never wanted to punch a TV more.
The 2017...
I watched the Eagles lose five straight NFC championships. And I never wanted to punch a TV more than I saw.
The AAA Mega Champion. The 2017 Sports Illustrated Wrestler of the Year. The 2018 Wrestling Observer Wrestler of the Year. He has broken the Dave Meltzer 5-star scale 7 times. He is the cleaner.
Are you surprised there was only 7?
Well, that's only how many times he went above 5 stars.
Oh.
As he broke the scale.
Yeah, that's right. What the fuck? I hated
this. He has 7 matches that are over 5 stars.
Could you tell me that you liked this? Did anybody like this? Oh, I know people liked it.
Yeah, I was going to say, yes.
Yeah, so and it would once work in North Carolina.
Yeah, and sometimes translates for Michael Nakazawa. No, he's so fluent in Japanese that he sometimes translates for Michael Nakazawa.
Did you not want to hit him?
I think that's the point. He's turning heel.
Good, because I want to kill him. I hated him before. I hate him more now.
I don't know what you got against Omega.
Oh, he's just a pussy. Is he not just a douche?
Kind of, but isn't half of this company just douches? And yeah, you can't like them.
Like, it's just, they're all perfectly... They're just the whole
Miro's your favorite wrestler in the world, and he's feuding over arcade games.
No, this is not my favorite version of him. I love Rusev.
Said he's your favorite wrestler in the world. I didn't say it's your favorite version of him.
Since when?
I don't know. You always talk about how much you love Rusev.
I did.
So what
now, now he's wearing Gucci and fucking fighting over arcade games. And his entire gimmick is he's the best man at a horrible wrestler's wedding.
I mean, you pretty much described my life.
Fair.
Except that horrible wrestler is an accountant.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about, so.
It's a reference that I didn't expect you to understand.
What was the reference?
Let's just move on.
Okay.
So, Omega mauled Sonny Kiss. 2 moves.
Okay, I got it. Okay. I got it.
Sonny Kiss mauled... No, reverse that. Kenny Omega mauled Sonny Kiss. V-Trigger, one-winged angel. Boom. So what it should have been, at least.
Yeah, that's what you had to do. I mean, after the fucking entrance.
Yeah. As soon as I saw his entrance, I'm like, this is lasting 5 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it had to be. I can't argue.
Up next, a match that kicked ass. Rey Fénix taking on Penta El Cerro Miedo.
A match we once saw.
We did see this match in person, WrestleCon Super Show 2019.
And it was fucking awesome then.
So Eddie Kingston was on commentary. He brought life to this commentary booth.
I just fucking love him.
He's great.
He's
fantastic.
Signing him might be their best move.
It's a shame that it took him this long to get in a national promotion somewhere. Yeah. I mean, he had a cup of coffee in TNA, but he's in the DCC, which is an awful gimmick, and, you know, it didn't work.
But, yeah, no, I agree. And same thing with Satomura. There's no bad to having Eddie Kingston around.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He could train wrestlers. He knows how to be different than everybody. He cuts probably the best promo in the fucking company right now.
And he's probably main eventing the next show.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's going to go on last.
I would say so.
This match was good. There was a couple awkward spots, including one where Pentagon landed right on his fucking head.
Yeah.
I thought he was dead, and it turns out he is dead because he is out of the tournament, and Penta, the loser, is taking his place.
You mean Phoenix? You said Penta landed on his head and is now dead. Phoenix is dead. Penta's taking his place.
Well, I think Penta's also dead.
I mean, yeah, he's wearing an eye patch just like Ray.
Has to be an homage.
Yeah, has to be.
Has to be.
Although he's like three Rey Mysterios.
And he's George Kittle's favorite wrestler.
Yeah, which is, I saw.
He was on NFL Sunday Countdown. I was so confused.
I mean, nothing goes better together like Kurt Menefee and
Kurt Menefee isn't on ESPN Sunday NFL Countdown.
Who is on ESPN? I watch Fox. Watching Terry Bradshaw.
It's like Berman and the Gang.
Oh, those guys. Yeah, nothing more similar than Chris Berman and Penta.
Chris Berman would come up with a great nickname for him.
Yes, he would. Yes, he absolutely would. But I watch Fox anyway because I love watching Terry Bradshaw slip into dementia.
Dude, did you see the World Series trophy presentation last night with Manfred? Dude, I thought he was going to have a stroke on the field.
But you know what it was?
It was freezing, wasn't it?
No, his IBF was fucked up.
Dude, he was like, I almost said he was stuttering worse than you, which would have been really mean.
All right, go ahead. Go for it anyway. Go ahead, say it.
He was stuttering worse than you.
All right, thank you. I legitimately almost,
is your IFB messed up?
I almost stopped by a stroke center the other day because I was talking to my friends and I couldn't get a sentence out. There was a solid minute where I didn't speak English. I could have been possessed like Reckoning on Raw on Monday.
That you somehow failed to alert me to.
Would anything surprise you? Would that pick you up if you're laying on and watching an hour of that horrible show?
Yeah. If I was watching that horrible show and I saw that, I would immediately start belly laughing.
Fair enough.
But anyway, I didn't watch any NFL Countdown because I was too busy introducing my German friend to Walter. He enjoys him.
Does he enjoy Walter?
Oh, who doesn't?
How'd you introduce him?
First, I didn't want to hop right into the Tyler Bate match. That's a long one. So first, he watched Undisputed Era versus Imperium. He really enjoyed Wolf getting his head getting knocked out.
Remember that?
I do. Then we watched the Survivor Series match where Walter was in it for like 2 minutes and got eliminated. And then we watched Walter and Bate. So
did he like Walter and Bate?
Of course.
I mean, it's probably, honest to God, it's probably the best match of the last 5 years.
I don't know. I still like Ospreay and Shingo a lot.
That's probably the second best match of the last 5 years.
Up next, Hangman Page and Colt Cabana. John Silver, say what you want about the guy. He cut an awesome promo before the match. It's hysterical. Colt Cabana apparently is undefeated since joining the Dark Order. I guess that's how he got this spot in the tournament. I'm also shocked that he's still in the group at this point. But eventually, Paige gets the win. And
now, did you see the fucked up spot in here, or am I going crazy?
Dude, it's been like a week since I watched the show.
Cabana went up to the rope, and then Paige got on his shoulders.
Nope, yep, you're right. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I had to rewind it, because I didn't know what the fuck happened.
It was a weird setup.
Yeah.
Like, I get what they were trying to do, but that was a pretty shitty way to set it up.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think it was a botch. I just don't think it was thought out.
Yeah, no, it went better in their heads.
Yeah. That was a weird
way. As a person who that happens to a lot, I understand.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Though. All right. Here we go.
If we recorded this last week, this would have been much more entertaining.
Chris Jericho and MJF have a steak dinner.
What the fuck?
They cut promos on the waitress, and then they break out and do song and dance. They go Brian Griffin and Stewie Griffin on us.
This is the worst thing I've ever seen.
All right, so.
But I can't say that now because I don't know why I expected non-silly shit to happen. I mean, this was good for silly shit. It was funny. But, like, should your two-top heels be doing this? The fuck? Really?
So, here's my thing. I didn't like it, but at least it was done well. Like, if WWE would have done this, it would have been a million times worse. And
I agree.
The reason I could tell that is because I watched Law and Otis on Friday. Law and Otis was 20 times worse than this segment. Wasn't my cup of tea either. I would like to see... See, I wish MJF's gimmick was he was the one guy that didn't do the silly shit.
Yeah.
Like, let everyone else do it, but just, like, let MJF abstain. Like, when the Inner Circle do, like, their little fucking Zoom calls and their, like, TikTok ripoff challenges, I laugh at that. That's fucking funny because those guys are all fucking goofs.
Yeah, but the one person that could be taken seriously should be as far away from this as possible.
But their audience loved it, so at the end of the day, can you really criticize?
They could have killed a baby, and their audience would have loved it.
Well, if MJF killed a baby, he'd be the best heel in the business.
I guess you're right.
I don't know. I just...
Well, I mean, I don't know. It didn't work for Snitsky.
Well, he didn't kill it. He punted it.
It's even worse.
Actually, technically, he did kill it because he forced a miscarriage. That's it.
Fuck. That was like in 2006.
2004. They did
really?
Yes. They did an angle where Kane raped Lita. They got married. Lita decided to fall... Lita randomly fell in love with Kane after being raped by him. And then...
And didn't he tombstone a priest along the ways?
That is when she turned on him and married Edge.
Right, correct.
But yeah, then Gene Snitsky forced him to have a miscarriage, which led to a multi-month wrestling feud.
Wrestling.
Rape. The magic of rape.
Let's just move on, please. But so, yes, this was just... I don't know where this is going.
Speaking of rape, the steak dinner.
I don't know. I hated it every minute of it, but if they liked it, what the fuck?
I will say, MJF, hell of a singing voice.
He does. It was surprised. And we know Jericho.
Jericho was bloated. He was gassed.
He was just blown up.
He was blown up. He was gassed.
The fat bastard. He was
Stop
just
it.
Blown up.
He was blown up. When Max said, can we do it again? Jericho was standing his head. He's like, oh, for the love of God, please no. He's like, from the top? No, from the end. He's like, thank God. But yeah, that was a steak dinner.
That was a thing.
It is what it is, as Drake once said.
Up next.
Britt Baker taking on Kylie King. Britt Baker wins with a lockjaw.
Glad to see you're back.
Yep. Main event time. The Young Bucks, the Butcher and the Blade, now reunited with the Bunny. Versus the Dark Order versus Private Party.
This match is exactly what I thought it was going to be.
John Silver had a good showing, I thought. He had a good night for himself.
They got something there.
Unfortunately for his partner, night did not go as well for him.
It did not.
FTR was on commentary. They were being FTR. They are great. Private Party was flipping all over the place. The Bucks beat Private Party exactly how Private Party beat them in the tournament. Don't know if you picked up on that.
Yes,
but I that did, was. That was the finish. What did you think of the Tully Blanchard thing at the end?
Very weird.
So fucking strange.
Very weird. I don't know.
It was so strange.
I don't know what the beginning, middle, or end of that is.
Like, I don't know. Like, we all knew who it was. He didn't have to disguise himself. Like, who else would be running around with FTR? Especially when Tully's not there.
Right? I don't know.
I don't know, dude. But we get our Bucks and... FTR match at Full Gear. Not the build I would have done to it, but more power to them.
Match should be fine.
Match should be great.
Yeah.
Match should be fantastic.
I want to see if they can top the Full Gear match from last year.
Well, that's Revolution. That's Revolution.
You know what I meant.
They might be able to, though, honestly.
I mean, if any of them could. It's FTR and those two.
So let's move on to NXT. The opener, Kushida versus Tommaso Ciampa versus Preteen Dream. Ciampa and Kushida are going at it early, but Velveteen Dream kept butting in and slowing them down. Kushida put in the hoverboard lock on the outside. Dream taps out. However, the pin or submission can only happen in the ring. Kushida bolt ran over both men. Ciampa drops him with the Willow's Bell. Dream knocks out Ciampa with his cast. Kushida hits a German suplex to Ciampa and pins Tommaso Ciampa. So what'd you think of all that?
Right winner, wrong way to win? What the fuck do you pin Ciampa for?
So I think him and Dream are gonna feud.
Ciampa and Dream?
Yes. And I think Kushida's on to bigger and better things.
I mean, that's the way to go, but
maybe the NXT title?
Really can't
Finn Balor and Kushida?
I would have absolutely not pinned Ciampa. but I'm not writing, so.
I mean, Ciampa got pinned because he was knocked out by Dream, so he has an out. You know what I mean? I wouldn't call... I mean, I guess technically it was a clean pin, but it's not like Kushida just was the better man and beat him.
You're right.
So they have an out. Like, I don't know. I love this match. I thought this match kicked ass.
It did. It absolutely did.
I'd love to see Ciampa and Kushida one-on-one with a finish this time. Of course, they wrestled a few weeks ago, but didn't have a finish. I think they're gonna go with Kushida and Balor once Balor's jaw is healthy, which will be incredible.
Yeah, I mean, they've had to wrestle before.
Right? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'll try to think of a match of those two. Because no way it's different. There's no way it's bad.
No, I guarantee you it's fantastic.
Yeah. And they're probably New Japan's two greatest juniors ever.
Liger.
Of the last 20 years.
Osprey.
I put them both over Osprey.
I would not.
I mean, career-wise.
Well, we're just talking just as New Japan juniors.
Yeah.
I would put Osprey over Balor, but not Kushida.
Fair enough. I mean, I don't think it's ludicrous to say Balor is better than him, but...
No, I don't think it is either, but I think Osprey is the edge.
There's your Mount Rushmore right
there. Osprey
was
also in the division longer, so that's, you know, it's...
Yeah. But, yeah, I think you're right.
I don't know. If you're talking Mount Rushmore, Tiger Mask has to be there. Probably the Mount Rushmore is that match that Liger had in January with all the old heads.
Oh, yeah, I mean... was it Liger? I don't remember who else in the match.
Neither do I, honestly.
But I believe one of them was... Tanaka?
Sasuke was in there.
Great Sasuke. Masahiro Tanaka?
I don't think Tanaka. Maybe he was. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember what the...
All right, so Undisputed Era backstage. Adam Cole's hysterically on an iPad. Thought that was pretty funny.
It was funny.
They explain why they were going to beat Breezango. More on that to come. Video package was selling Rhea Ripley and Ember Moon. That will happen at some point.
That'll be awesome.
So now we have Ember Moon versus Jessie Kamea. Pretty much a squash. Jessie Kamea got some offense in, and she looked good with her offense. But eventually, Ember Moon got her to tap to a leg trap crossface.
Yeah.
That was a pretty cool-looking move.
It was, and you know, that's what they should be doing with her right now.
Afterwards, Dakota Kai attacked Moon, and that appears to be where they're going with...
Well, I thought she was a heel.
Who?
Moon.
Why would she be a heel?
I don't know. She was just... I've never seen a babyface do what she does. But now she's a babyface now if she's feuding with Kai.
She teamed with Ripley last week, didn't she?
I guess you're right.
I don't know. Whatever. Austin Theory versus Bronson Reed, probably the best match in this show.
Absolutely. Maybe the best match of the night.
I don't know. I liked the Pentagon brothers dueling it out. The Pentagon, the fucking Lucha brothers.
If that it was this was second.
I thought if you wanted to put this first, I wouldn't argue with
you. Yeah, I thought this was great.
So Theory had the edge early, but eventually Bronson Reed knocked him off the top rope, hit the tsunami for the win.
Absolutely fucking murdered him.
Yeah.
on a what was it, Samoan drop?
Yeah.
Absolutely killed him.
Afterwards, Theory demanded a rematch. No, the first one was the splash. The second one was the Samoan. The rematch was the Samoan drop.
Killed him. Absolutely killed him.
So then he got the Samoan drop on the second match, and then Theory quit WWE afterwards.
Maybe he's going up?
I mean, he was already up, so I think if he was going up, I think they're just doing a losing streak gimmick with him, and I don't know if that's the way I'd go, but he also made some personal decisions that may have affected his booking.
I would say so.
So.
He's got his shit together.
Yeah.
Because he's got it.
He's 23, so yeah. He's got time.
He's got it.
Yeah.
Whatever it, that Mr. Phil, that Mr. Full it, he has it.
Yeah.
He's incredible. But, you know, I don't know why they did the losing streak either, but my guess would be his personal life decisions.
That'd be my assumption as well.
Because it makes absolutely no sense for them to do it.
So we got Scott, Atlas, and Adonis taking on Legado del Fantasma.
Also, make your nickname not Thee.
What's wrong with Thee?
I hate Thee. I don't know why.
I thought, you know what, this match might have been the best match of the show, too. I love this match.
This match was awesome.
Atlas got the action going early. Legado eventually got the heat. Escobar hit a suicide dive on Swerve. Atlas took out Escobar. This left Adonis alone. He took the double team Russian leg sweep leg lariat finish from Wilden Mendoza, and then Legado picks up the win. Gargano is in the house at Candace practicing for his spin the wheel, make a deal.
Just excellent shit.
On a practice wheel. and the first spin he gets a buried alive match, and he is very concerned about this. He says he doesn't want to get buried alive. Candice gets a street fight. She mentions she's undefeated in street fights, and Johnny says, great, you'll be the NXT Women's Champion, and I'll be buried alive. So Candice says...
Well, I don't know what this gimmick is, but I fucking love it.
I think they're a parody of heels. Like, they are a parody of what a heel is.
I think you're right.
They're every annoying neighbor that you have. Like, that's... In their fucking matching tracksuits, they're just pricks.
They're awesome.
And they're great. Yeah, they're awesome. Great.
I love this. I mean, I could do it after like the time bending kind of stuff, but
fair enough. I could agree with that.
But Jesus, when the face he made when he drew buried alive match.
So then Candice goes, "Why don't you go again?" He spins it, gets casket match. He says, "I guess that's better." Before proclaiming that he hates wheels once again.
And oh, I'm looking forward to it.
I don't know. I sent you the picture of Johnny's NXT outfit tonight. He is wearing a t-shirt that says, maybe it never sent, but it says, I hate wheels.
Yeah, it did not never send.
Well, just go on Gargano's Twitter. He's wearing a white blazer, white pants, and a shirt that says, I hate wheels.
Just, that's awesome. I love Johnny Gargano.
Yeah. And I love the six-man tag match, too.
I did, too.
Drake Maverick and Killian Dane versus our boys Ever-Rise, baby. So Ever-Rise taunts Drake Maverick early. They're trying to get him pissed off. They told him Killian Dane was their only friend.
I think he changed his gimmick. Because he posted that up 10 minutes ago.
He must not hate wheels anymore.
He's apparently Jack Skellington.
Makes sense. It's Halloween.
He is. He also looks like Skeletor. Oh, that is incredible.
Yeah, there it is. I hate wheels.
That's incredible.
He looks like a stud. Looks like a drug lord.
When do you see this? Do you see this fucking tweet from yesterday?
No.
It says, know your enemy. It's the Wikipedia page for wheels. Look at this fucking picture.
It's the invention of the wheel.
Unbelievable.
He's
just
the best.
Absolutely unbelievable.
Speaking of the best, our boys Ever-Rise got a disqualification win when they pissed Drake Maverick off so much they hit them with a chair. And I've never seen people so excited to be hit with chairs. They were so happy they won. Afterwards, Killian Dane said that's the Maverick he was looking to see, and he even let him play the goofy song.
Strange bedfellows, man.
They will be tag team champions in the next year. Guaranteed.
They might need a tag team on Raw.
Oh, God. If they need a tag team on Raw, they have better choices than Maverick and Dane.
Including Ever-Rise.
Listen, Ever-Rise should be on every show.
They should. Raw, SmackDown, Evolution... 205 Live.
NXT UK.
AEW, NXT
yes.
UK.
Ring of Honor,
NWA.
Do you remember? I don't know.
NJPW, New Year Dash.
I don't know why this popped in my head, but do you remember when Corbin told Apollo Crews to go back to Ring of Honor? And
he never wrestled
in Ring of Honor.
Never wrestled there. Never wrestled there once.
That's the most Corbin thing ever.
Well, if you don't
go
know...
Go back to Ring of Honor!
If you don't know wrestling, isn't every other wrestling that's not WWE Ring of Honor?
Fair enough.
But, oh, okay. What was next?
Xia Li versus Casey Catanzaro. So Xia Li was caught with a surprise roll-up and lost. After the match, she attacked Catanzaro and Carter. Raquel Gonzalez arrived and destroyed everybody. She called out Rhea Ripley and promised to be the La Diabla of her nightmares. What a fucking line that was.
The devil, right? La Diabla?
Yeah, that is what that means.
Did you read that book in sixth grade about the fucking pearl?
Yes, yes.
It was like, La Diablo, La Diablo. I don't know what the fuck it meant. I took French.
Backstage, Cameron Grimes is informed that he'll be fighting Dexter Lumis in a Haunted House of Terror match.
Oh,
Halloween
my God,
Havoc.
I forgot about that.
And then Lumis was peering through the window into Grimes' soul, but Grimes did not notice him.
Out of who are you rooting for?
How can you pick one?
I hope he's like walking through this fucking house and he says, hey, Cameron, doing Cameron Grimes shit.
Up next, something I forgot about, but I love this fucking segment. Thatch's Thatch Can with Timothy Thatcher live in the ring.
You liked it?
Dude, this was awesome.
Timothy
Thatcher, I never thought he'd be good at, like, he just didn't.
No, I love these segments, but I think it's a little too early for this to end already.
What do you mean?
He got beat up by one of his students.
I don't think that means it's ending. Retro Anthony Green's a fucking hell of a work. Like, they're clearly high on him. He's one of the guys they signed from Evolve. He's awesome. So, I don't know. So Thatcher.
But it was great. It was good.
So Thatcher was showing off a variety of technical submissions using leverage. His student was, as I mentioned, Retro Anthony Green, who he called Andrew, even though he told him his name was Anthony several times.
They're getting fucking charisma out of Timothy Thatcher.
He made him tap out twice, and then eventually Anthony Green. I mean, it was kind of a cheap shot, so I don't think it's dead at all. I don't know. I liked it. If you didn't, whatever.
I mean, I thought it was good, but it was just a confusing booking to me.
Pre-tape with Damian Priest, he says he's not afraid to fight Johnny Gargano in any type of match. I hope this wheel doesn't land on something disappointing tonight.
What's it going to be?
It won't be buried alive. It won't be buried alive. No,
it won't be casket either.
That's my guess. I don't know. I don't know what's on the wheel.
I think I know what's going to land.
What?
Inferno match.
That would be weird. That would be... Is the performance center big enough for like that? Like, I don't know if that's a fire-safe building.
We'll just duke the fucking fire marshal.
All right, main event time. Bobby Fish was found hurt backstage. Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly helped him. Then Strong was later found laid out. And O'Reilly refused to wrestle. And he said Oni and Danny should have the tag title shot since they put up a hell of a fight last week. So it's Breezango taking on Larkin and Birch for the titles. Physical match early. Breeze injured the leg of Birch to give himself an opening. Breezango got the hot tag to Fandango. As Fandango goes to the top rope, a masked man pushed him off the top rope. The ref missed this, but Tyler Breeze saw it. So Breeze tried to alert the ref when he was kicked in the dick by Danny Birch. They hit their awesome DDT finish and won the tag titles. And the masked man revealed himself to be Pat McAfee.
Love seeing Pat back.
Yeah. That was a swerve I did not see coming. Go on Pat's Twitter. Mm-hmm. He explains everything. I'm not sure if this was the original plan or if this was a pivot after Ridge Holland destroyed his knee.
Well, maybe it was a longer plan. They had expedited. Because don't think about it. Holland or... Larkin and Birch.
There goes your Manfred condition again.
Yeah, Larkin and... Try saying that five times fast.
What?
Larkin and Birch. I can't say the word only Larkin. Larkin and Birch, Ridge Holland, and McAfee seems like a hell of a stable.
You know what? If I was putting those three together, the first thing I'd say is, all right, who is talking for these guys?
It's McAfee. It's absolutely McAfee.
It is.
But... You know what? If make the best of a bad situation with poor Ridge, who I don't think he's coming back anytime soon.
No, that's at least 8 to 9 months, I'd say. I'm not a doctor, but that's...
I've known my fair share of knee injuries.
Torn patella tendon, dislocated kneecap, dislocated ankle.
Isn't that what Marshawn Lattimore did in South Carolina?
I might have been.
Oh, God. Watching that was terrible.
Dude, he was screaming.
It didn't seem like...
I know, but, like, they didn't cut away. He was just... It was like Dak. Like, they were just fucking showing it.
Hopefully it's not a cramped gym. That's what I was thinking.
Hopefully it's not a cramp ridge.
Oh, God. But awesome shit. Looking forward to seeing what they do in the future with it.
All right, MVP time and show of the week. So I'll let you start.
MVP for AEW's Wardlow. Because he looked like... well, I mean, real MVP's Jungle Boy. But he made Wardlow look like $1 million.
Like, Wardlow fucking spun his ass on that F10.
My NXT MVP is Kyle O'Reilly.
That's an interesting... I don't necessarily disagree.
Because he gave us a set of stuff for the swerve.
Yeah.
And my overall piece, McAfee.
And show of the week?
NXT.
All right, so my AEW MVP is... I was going to go with Wardlow, but I want to be different. Fuck it, I'm going with Wardlow. That was the best thing in the show.
It was.
Could have went with Penta or Phoenix, but I'll go with Wardlow. NXT MVP... is Austin Theory. Overall MVP is Patty Buckets. Glad to see him back. And show of the week for me is NXT. When we get back, we will talk about Hell in a Cell, and then we will get out of your hair. Hell in a Cell was this past Sunday, and... I thought it was a pretty darn decent show.
Yeah, it was. You know what? Did they have a bad show for COVID?
Yes, like the first three pay-per-views after COVID, not counting WrestleMania.
Well, they figured it out.
Yeah, let's end our shows at 9 o'clock. I love it.
Yeah, me too. It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And there's a lot to talk about here.
So let us start with the opener. Hell in a Cell I Quit match for the Universal Championship. If Jey Uso loses, him and his brother Jimmy Uso will have to take orders and acknowledge Roman Reigns as the tribal chief, or the Usos and their immediate families will be exiled from the NOIE family.
That's a real stipulation.
He did say it was going to be the most, I forget what he said. He said it was have like the most severe consequences in WWE history. It
wasn't. Oh, lying. Speaking of consequences, did you see fucking Heyman fucked up? He was reading through his things and he had a note from Vince on the pre-show when he stopped by.
I did not catch
this. Yeah. There's a note like directly from Vince written on his nose and he's reading the one side and it's on the camera.
That's funny. Obviously, it didn't say anything too important because he's still employed.
Yeah. Oh, no, it just said make sure you go through the consequences that Roman loses.
Okay. So, this match went 29 minutes and 20 seconds. I liked it. I know you said it went 10 minutes too long, but you said you rewatched it, so.
I did, and you know what? It's not egregious. Like, I thought the match could have ended 5 minutes earlier.
We're also watching it with a group of people whose combined attention span is probably.
Yeah, that's true. But honestly, I rewatched it, and I still think it went a little long. Roman beating him up kind of dragged out a little bit, but I guess that's the point.
Yeah, but that's the
point. This was awesome.
This was.
Everything, the last two segments, I'm going to say, in this match, like the last part of the wrestling, and then everything leading up to the very end, was fucking incredible.
When Roman produced real tears, that's when I knew we lost him to Hollywood.
Yeah.
This man produced real tears on the spot.
Just the whole thing with Jimmy was great.
Yeah. I thought the story that the only thing that could make Jey quit was damage to his brother Jimmy was a great story.
Yes.
I thought that was good shit.
He looked good. He didn't really. He got less offense in.
They fucking brought the wild Samoans out of there. I don't know how I feel about that in the COVID era, but they brought the wild Samoans out at the
end. Samoans can't get COVID.
You know what? I never heard of a Samoan with COVID.
Have you?
I have not.
Actually, The Rock had it. Fuck.
Yeah, The Rock had it.
The Samoan had it.
Damn.
You think they'd be immune to it?
But was it the Samoan half of him that got it?
Ooh, I don't think so.
There we go. Loophole.
Loophole.
That's terrible.
Jesus.
Rest in peace, Rocky Johnson.
I know. God, there's another one we did this year.
That was last year.
Fuck! All this time bends together.
Yeah, this kicked ass. Where do you think both guys go from here? Jey Uso just attacked? Well, he has to be Roman. He has to be Roman's heater now, right? That's like the stipulation.
Does he have to be?
It says, since Jey quit, he and his brother Jimmy Uso have to take orders and acknowledge Reigns as the tribal chief, or the Usos will be exiled from the NOIE family. So I guess either he's his heater or he's out of the family. It's his choice.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, there's a lot of options they can do.
I think he and Jimmy go full heel and we
have so do I. I think that's at least where we end up.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be immediate.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be. I think it's absolutely where we end up.
It'll be like Legato. They got to get kidnapped a couple times first.
Yeah. By the people that they're also them.
Yes. Kidnapping themselves.
But this just kicked a lot of ass. The Wild Samoans fucking put lays on Roman.
Yeah, Roman got laid.
He did. He did get laid. I mean, with that body, how could you not?
That's the gold glove. Did you like the gold glove?
I did. It was very weird to me at first.
It was super weird.
It was weird to me because we were talking about it here, and neither of us had any idea.
I still don't know why it's a gold glove.
Yeah, whatever.
Is he the best first baseman in the MLB?
I think so.
That'd explain it.
Yeah.
A lot of baseball references in the show today.
I know, though. This was awesome.
This was awesome.
But up next, not awesome.
Just kind of there. Elias taking on Jeff Hardy. Elias won when Jeff Hardy waffled Elias in the back with a guitar.
Crushed him. His album's great, by the way.
I've listened to a couple songs from it.
There's only five.
I listened to three out of five.
Did you listen to the Amazing Grace House of the Rising Sun mix-up?
I did.
It's awesome.
I did.
Would you play that joint on Raw?
Yes.
But it was an Elias match.
Up next, the Money in the Bank contract is on the line. Otis with Tucker defends against The Miz with John Morrison. Went 7 minutes, 25 seconds. The Miz got the victory when Tucker turned on Otis and waffled him in the shoulder with the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Can I say this? As much as underwhelming,
this podcast,
it was very well done. Yeah. I thought it was really good. Tucker's facial was awesome. Otis sold the Chris Farley.
Well, because, see, it's the weird thing. Like, when they first got called up, Vince saw Tucker as the star because he has a good look. He could talk. He's got size.
He can wrestle.
But then Otis started being Otis, and then Otis became the star. And so I guess Vince said, fuck it, we'll split them up and have two stars.
And you know what? I think they can have a little fun match. A little program.
I don't know. Do you have any interest in this program? Because I really don't.
Not really, but I mean, I'll watch it.
We should mention this team got split up in the draft, but miraculously, Tucker's profile got moved to SmackDown.
So. I wonder when that decision was made.
Who knows?
But also, we both knew Otis was not cashing his fucking fan.
Yeah. I still don't think Miz is cashing
in. I was going to say, is Miz going to cash? Well,
he's going to cash in, but he's going to fail.
Oh, God.
Yeah. There's no way Miz cashes in on Randy Orton.
Or Roman.
Well, he's on Raw. They can't cross the brand lines, brother.
Of course they can't.
Even though they do all the time.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Up next, potentially the best match in the show, depending on what you thought about. It was either this or the opener. 26 minutes, 35 seconds. Sasha Banks, Bayley, Hell in a Cell, SmackDown Women's title. What can you say? It was worth the wait.
It was awesome.
It was great.
Other than Bayley trying to figure out how the hell to set up something. Yeah. But
I like how she... There was a great moment, though. She turns to the ref and she goes, "I'm sweaty, you do it." And the ref just kind of looks at her.
I love Bayley. I love her character.
Yeah.
I loved her other character, but I love this one more.
The heel Bayley is 1,000 times better, which if I said that 2 years ago, I thought I would probably think I'm crazy.
Yeah, it's just, but she's awesome.
Heel Bayley is awesome.
Kind of the Britt Baker effect.
Grand Slam Pam.
Grand Slam Pam.
But Britt Baker, and it wasn't her fault, but she flopped as a babyface. Yeah, Bayley was an incredible babyface.
Bayley was getting the best reactions on Raw.
Turned heel when she didn't have to, and is now kicking ass as a heel.
Yep. She's great.
Chef's kiss.
PWI number one. I hope this fucking Friday, the PWI number one women's wrestler in the world.
They won't do that.
Once worked in Saudi Arabia.
that would be awesome. It is true.
Look, my dick, Justin Roberts. But
it's not his fault.
All right, continue.
Yeah, this match is nice. I like the callback, the submissions in the chair. There was a callback to the Iron Woman match in NXT TakeOver Respect with Sasha kicking the chair like Bayley was kicking her to make her tap out. So that was a nice little callback to their second most famous match. So let's rank the three big main event Sasha Bayley matches. Obviously, we have TakeOver Brooklyn, TakeOver Respect, and Hell in a Cell. So TakeOver Brooklyn still number one?
Yeah.
I just think for the impact it had on the business, it has to be.
There's no Evolution without that match.
Yeah.
There's no Women's Hell in a Cell without that
They're still calling them divas without that match.
Yeah, in that match. And you know what? That match was fucking awesome.
It was.
It holds up. I go back and watch it from time to time.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, and then I would say put this second and then Respect.
This
was a hell of a blow-off. I'm not taking anything away from this.
I'm not quite sure it's a blow-off, though. I think we're still going to have them feud.
Oh, no shit.
But yeah, I thought this was great. Fun little match. Up next, something that wasn't fun. Or maybe it was fun. It was funny. I don't know if it was fun. We have Bobby Lashley defending the Big Eagle belt. Love that belt.
It is nice.
Against Slapjack. It went 3 minutes and 50 seconds, and Slapjack tapped out.
R.I.P. Retribution.
To the Hurt Lock.
It's better than the Full Lashley.
Is it the Hurt Lock or the Full Hurt?
I think it's the Hurt Lock now.
It changes every other week. But yeah, let's talk about Retribution a little bit, man. What went wrong?
Fans went wrong.
I don't even know, man. Former members Retaliation, that's funny. Rest in peace, Retaliation.
Sorry, Mercedes.
Combined weight, 1,055 pounds.
Someone that's a stable.
Someone added it up.
That's a stable or Big Show and Mark Henry.
I mean, most of them are... I mean, T-Bar and Mace are gigantic, so that is kind of surprising.
I didn't know how big Dio Madden was.
Yeah, dude.
He's fucking huge.
He was a right tackle, dude.
He's bigger than Jijak.
He's Jason Peters.
Yeah.
He was a right tackle. I mean, Peters is a left tackle, but...
He was a right tackle in Buffalo.
All right, well, he's Jason Peters.
Big homie. But, yeah, just... I don't know why they did it. They're dead. I don't know why they're dead. I don't know why if they were going to kill them this quickly. I liked then, it. It ended up being so much better than I thought it was going to be, and then they fucking killed it.
It's so weird because they were like... They hyped... Remember when they were talking about a new faction is coming, a new faction is coming, a new faction is coming? Then they make their first appearance, and they're midgets chainsawing a ring. Then they're bombing fucking the Performance Center. They're locking people in the bathroom, which admittedly was great. And then we finally get the reveal of the members, and they are in the wackiest gimmicks I've ever seen. And then they had Ali, and I'm like, all right, we got life again.
And now they're dead.
And then they beat them clean 4 times in a row, and the Fiend just houses all of them.
Yep.
I don't know.
But main event time?
Yeah, main event time. So, we got Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre, Hell in a Cell match, the WWE title. 30 minutes and 35 seconds. You want to know the thing I found most surprising about this match? You know who produced this match?
Shane McMahon.
The Monster Abyss.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
The Monster Abyss produced the WWE Championship match.
This does not seem like an Abyss match.
I don't know. They went to the top of the cell. It's some Abyss shit.
Yeah, it is. So, but you know what? Good for Joe.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see his actual good mind.
Well, it's Joe's his brother. He's Chris.
Abyss is Joe Parks, right?
No, Joe Park is the character played by Abyss. It's a lawyer, the brother of Abyss.
I thought his name was Joe Parks the entire time.
No, it's Chris.
Is it Chris?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Chris. Good for Chris.
Joe Park was the lawyer on TNA that was played by Chris Park, but the brother of Abyss. That was the storyline.
Fucking TNA, man.
The storyline was that, yes, they're played by the same guy, but Joe Park was Abyss's brother.
Okay, got it.
That's why you never saw them at the same, you never saw them at the same time because they're the same fucking guy.
Yeah, I put that one together.
But they're brothers.
Anthony, Jesus. All right, move on.
You ever saw Mace and Dio Madden at the same time, did you?
I didn't. Actually, I did, because Dio Madden once called Raw where Retribution showed up.
did he really? I yes. don't think he did.
There's little tiny people coming with the fucking... the people. The way you act in the bathroom in sixth grade is what these people were doing. But continue.
No, you go home.
That's funny. But what he did immediately after is even funnier. He did fucking... ran away screaming and he did this. He shook his arms and shit.
Oh, my God. So what do you think of the decision to put the strap on Randy?
Loved it. I think it's the right decision. I think they got it off Drew before it became, they couldn't do too much with it. So when, not if, Drew wins it again, it's equally as special.
Well,
you know what? You know what you're going to get with Randy Orton. People that like him already like him and aren't going to stop. And people that hate him already hate him and aren't
going to
stop.
Well, according to Dave, this is going all the way to Mania with Edge getting his big win over Randy Orton at Mania and winning the WWE title. I don't know if I could take, 5 months of Randy Orton world title matches. Randy Orton has been awesome this year. He's probably been, besides MJF, the best heel of 2020. Or maybe put him in front of MJF. It's your, whatever your personal preference is, I think those are the two. But we all know what Randy Orton matches are. And I don't know if I could take 5 months of Randy Orton main events. Did you realize this was, I kind of felt bad for Drew. This is his first main event since winning the title on pay-per-view.
I feel bad for
you. You got the punk treatment.
What a victim of just the shittiest circumstances.
At Money in the Bank, the Money in the Bank main evented. At Backlash, the greatest wrestling match ever main evented. At the horror show, that awful Bray Wyatt and Braun swamp fight main evented. SummerSlam, Braun and Bray main evented again. Payback, he wasn't even on that show. Clash of Champions, Roman and Jay main evented. Hell in a Cell.
You know what? I don't think it's a bad decision by any means. I think I got it off Drew before it got stale. I mean, it's the shittiest of circumstances, yeah, but I think it was the right move.
Drew was WWE champion during the roughest time in...
ever.
Not just wrestling history, probably... I don't know if it's the roughest time in human history. That might be a bit of an overstatement. But the roughest
recent.
Time... the roughest time since World War II.
Yeah, easily.
And I thought he did an admirable job. I thought he did a good job. He put on good matches.
I don't think anybody's saying... I don't think that's the reason he took it off him either.
No,
I literally think the reason they took it off him was just... before this gets stale,
and they want their Orton Edge match.
Yeah, and I get
hell bent on it,
and I understand that. I do. I mean, because the greatest wrestling match ever was fucking.
Yeah,
awesome.
But I don't think you're gonna top that.
No, they can't.
Maybe if there's a crowd at WrestleMania and Edge gets his big win.
There's never been a match that deserves a crowd more than that.
Yeah.
Because imagine if they have that with the crowd, that and Rock and Roman back to back.
I can't see crowds in March.
I can't either.
I mean, they're saying the Super Bowl. It might be a deal with 20% crowd in Raymond James, because that's apparently what the Super Bowl's doing. 20% crowd in Raymond James.
Well, Florida, you can do whatever you want, and they will do whatever they want.
That's the thing. The NFL is actually smart enough to only say 20%. I don't know. Yeah. Vince might just go full send.
Yeah, which I would love to go, but if it's full send, I'm not going.
If it's full send, I'm not going. If it's limited capacity, I would consider it.
Yeah.
It's still Florida, though.
Yeah. I don't know.
Although Leak went to Florida twice, and he's fine.
That's good.
As far as we know. And Rod just got back from Florida.
Well, it's good. Hopefully he's fine.
Yeah, he had mimosas.
What?
Mimosas.
Oh, well, of course. You have to have a mimosa in Florida.
Brunch.
But, Jesus Christ. But this was... thank you, Drew. It sucks, but I think it's the right decision.
He's fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine. He'll be fine, he'll be fine.
Him and The Fiend are already back in the fucking title picture, which is a fucking mistake.
It is.
Keep The Fiend away from that title unless you're putting it on him. And I don't even want to put it on it. Like,
Because then all you do is lose it.
I feel like The Fiend is a guy that should have the title maybe once every 3 or 4 years and just have a long run with it, then lose it, and go back to doing wacky, spooky feuds with people.
I agree.
That's the problem with characters like The Fiend. Like, how do you beat them?
Yeah, like, they just have to lose. Like,
it's like The Undertaker. Like, The Undertaker, when The Undertaker loses, it's a big deal. Because it's The Undertaker.
Shook the world when it happened at WrestleMania.
Like, The Undertaker just... I feel like that's part of the reason why I went to the fucking badass character, because that character could lose more, you know?
He could also wrestle a little more. We all know how insanely athletic he was at that time. But that's enough of that. Solid B-plus show.
B-plus. Give me my next question. I'm going to go B. Good show. We'll see if the Stakeless Survivor Series can hold up, but I'm going to hold my breath. So next week, we will be here with a full gear preview. We will talk about Halloween Havoc and the AEW show as well. And whatever the hell happens in this wacky world of wrestling. But until then, Mike will be here to tell you who to follow and what to do, and then we will get out of your hair.
Thank you once again for listening to the Champions Advantage podcast. We greatly appreciate it that we're at Champions Pod on Twitter. Make sure you follow at Kuda_Jr., the David Allen Co. of the DMV. He brings you his show, Top of the Rope Wrestling Radio on CBS Sports Baltimore, and a podcast to follow. Shows around Monday night, podcast shortly after. Follow at Bearded Chris P, at Ron_Musto_Jr., at LindsayBeHonestX, and follow the whole network at TT_4U. Thank you, and then have a happy Halloween.